welcome to the Layer 8 Podcast Season 3, culminating with the Layer 8 Conference on Saturday, October 8th in Providence, Rhode Island. This season, we'll have conversations with social engineers and OSINT investigators who will tell their stories. We hope you enjoy them.
Welcome to another episode of the Layer 8 Podcast. We got a super special guest for you today. We have Charles Shearer. Welcome, Charles.
Oh, yep. Oh, thank you for having me on here. Listen, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of Layer 8 Con altogether. Like, I'm on Layer 8, y'all. So I'm super excited. Once again, my name is Charles Shearer. I go by the BSD Bandit on Twitter. I've been in the industry for like 20 years now. Wow. Whew, it's a long time. Started out as a PC tech. Currently these days I do security research, penetration testing, and red teaming. But interesting and fun hobbies is OSINT, retro video games, and working out these days. I'm on a workout regimen right now, and I'm loving it. So these are my favorite hobbies, but yes, once again, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, we're a huge fan of the BSD Bandit as well. A few years ago, you even opened our conference with one of your convocations, which was pretty awesome and exciting because you mentioned that you are the BSD Bandit, which people can find you on Twitter with that username. And you often start the day with a greeting. Why do you do that? How did that come about?
Well, like this, it's all started with the pandemic originally in like 2020. I did a little bit before that, but it wasn't videos. It was just more so like just morning motivational tweets. And then I just got to the point one day, I was like, you know what? We're in the age of video. Cut that camera on and start talking and put something out there. But I wanted to make it like fun, but informational at the same time. So the t-shirts are symbolic. So I looked on Twitter and it was just kind of like every folks were either upset, depressed. It was always something going on. Then people feel like they were just like falling by the wayside. So I always keep the hacker mindset. I don't accept things just the way they are. If there's something that I don't like about something, I try to change it each day. And that's just me keeping the hacker mindset. If you don't like something about something, you change it and try to make it better. So that was the goal for it, to make InfoSec, just tech in general, Twitter in general, better. And I started out with just, like I said, just the morning tweets. And I said, you know what, let me do with the videos. And then the t-shirts just they take you back to a simple time. That's why it's a lot of retro t-shirts. I wanted to take people's mind back to a simpler time where they may have had a better time in life. You know, and then at the end, the fun part, not only if it's a message, but it's music. And it's music that I hear, you know, maybe the night before or early that morning when I get up. And I'm like, oh, this is going on the morning video. And on top of that, today is Fantastic Friday. So I'm going to name all the days, but today is Fantastic Friday. If you're a Starbucks drinker, it's Frappuccino Friday, Frap Friday, whatever you want to call it. Tomorrow's Sensational Saturday. Super Sunday, Magnificent Monday. Once again, if you're a Starbucks drinker or a coffee drinker, it's Macchiato Monday. Terrific Tuesday, aka Turn It Up Tuesday. And then we have Wonderful Wednesday. And we also have Thankful Thursday. So that a positive name for every day of the week. And I try to just do every morning with that same message and just keep rolling and have a good time while I'm doing it, because this is what we're here for.
And this episode is being released on Monday morning for people to listen to. So if somebody's hearing this on the morning of its release, which day is today?
Oh, today is going to be Magnificent Monday.
Yes.
Macchiato Monday if you're a Starbucks drinker. And I want you to get out there that morning, well, this morning, and we're going to call it Make It Happen Monday. So anything that you're trying to accomplish today, I hope you make it happen. Ow!
Make it happen. Listen all the way to the end of this episode before you go out and do anything else. So this is great. You can probably everybody feel the energy coming from Charles, which, believe it or not, happened from the first moment that we turned on the Zoom channel to connect. And it's just like, Charles, man, this is awesome. This energy that you have. And I just had to hurry up and start the episode because I didn't want to lose any of this. And he's like, don't worry. I can keep this going.
Yes.
Yeah, I have also seen the shirts that you wear. It seems like a lot of retro Donkey Kong Mario shirts that you love to wear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. Donkey Kong, mainly Mega Man and Final Fantasy are my favorite NES games. I love them to death. It's just something about them. I just enjoy it. But yeah, Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers. I try to incorporate a little bit of Sega in there. I got a couple of more that I'm incorporating from the Neo Geo collection. So I try to do a different t-shirt each day, just something fun and enjoyable. And I enjoy this. Well, today, I know nobody can see me, but I have on a Unix t-shirt because I'm in my BSD bandit mode, my free BSD mode today. I was playing around with some old school awk and set and set and awk. So I was just having a good time with that today. Don't know why. Just sometimes you just want to break out the old languages.
Oh, I can definitely put out a screenshot of your shirt here with the episode as well, which would be great for people to see. You also mentioned Hacker Health, that you do a little bit of that. And anybody that's listening for Charles's OSIN stuff, don't worry, we're going to get to that as well. But what is the Hacker Health thing that you're doing as well?
Well, I just want to say, first off, shout out to We Hack Health. Dave Kennedy kind of pushed that to the forefront. I saw him tweet it out one day. I'm like, oh, We Hack Health. And I looked at it from a standpoint, it's just like, man, this is what the industry needs as well, too. Because a lot of us, we sit behind our computers, we're drinking sugary drinks, we're just eating consistently, and we're not really moving how we should as human beings a lot of time. And or not even just getting outside, because you know, a lot of times we're so confined with work that we just sit, we can sit like 8, 9, 10, 12, 11, whatever you're working on, hours at a time. And with hacking your health, it's just like, look, if you want to be productive, not only do you have to have a good, stable mental health, you also have to have that physical health included as well, too. So I love what the movement was doing. And I said, you know what? I want to do this as well. So I started out just like with just taking walks and then just, you know, changing up the diet and eating correctly, you know, and then on top of that, just making that part of the regimen. So you got to take care of you before you can take care of work. So that's the mentality that I've developed. Take care of you before you can take care of work. So each morning I get up at 5, I hit the gym. If I'm not in the gym and it's nice outside, I'm outside, but I'm somewhere exercising and working out. And then I come in, I get some nice cold ice cold water. I love with the ice chips in it. That's my favorite.
Yep.
But I just started adopting that lifestyle and I love it. And that's why I started putting out more videos. Hey, and we call it hashtag hacker two a days. So I work out twice a day. I work out at 5 a.m. and I work out at 6 p.m. So that's kind of like the 6 p.m. is like the closeout. That's when I might hit the treadmill for like at least a mile. And if I want to keep going, and I keep going, but I do hit that mile. That's the minimum right there. But anything else after that is a bonus. But I do that because I was like, you know what? I started off the day working out and exercise. I'm going to close out the day and exercise. So that's where that movement came from. And I love it. I know my energy level is insanely crazier. I feel different. So yeah, that's where I got that from, that idea from, and got more into it. Yeah, We Hack Health. They did it. They did.
That's
it
great. Yeah, two a days is incredible. I'm lucky if I can do one a days. I'm even having to take notes on my whiteboard in order to make sure that I keep exercising. Like, do this on today and do this.
Yes. Yep. Yes, you got to do that. I put it on my iPhone.
Yeah,
I got a little notepad on my iPhone. I'm like, oh, did you work out today? That's in right. The calendar.
Yes, you got to give yourself the accountability. When you and I are done here, I'm going to go see if I can get out on my bike for a little bit and see how that goes.
That's it. I don't blame you. Get out there and enjoy some of that weather.
Awesome. All right, so you do a little bit of OSINT stuff. How did you get started in the OSINT world?
Well, actually, I started with really Google hacking, mm-hmm. with the Google hacking books. That was kind of like the intro, really, because at the time, if the name OSINT existed, I didn't know about it.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, Google Hacks by Johnny Long. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading. I'm like, oh, you could do all these cool things. And I started realizing, well, Google's just nothing but a database. You put in the right combination of words, it can give you back some great information. Words and great information. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool, but what else can you do? You know, that's, yeah, I know a couple of queries where I can find certain things, but I'm like, okay, what else can you do? And then I went to DerbyCon, and DerbyCon, I don't remember the guy's name, but I heard him mention OSINT, and I was like, what's that? And then he said, it's open source intelligence. And I started Googling open source intelligence, and then the whole barrage of OSINT, people doing OSINT, OSINT talk started coming up, and I'm like, oh, okay, what's this? So it opened up a whole new world. And then I found out about Layer 8 conference. And so that was a whole new, I was like, okay, they have conferences dedicated to OSINT. So that was kind of more so my introduction. And I wanted to know more. I started like Googling, okay, how do you get started in OSINT? And then I actually bought the OSINT book. And then from there, I just started like, I said, okay, you know what? And here's for folks out there that want to learn how to start getting into OSINT, here's how I started. Once I got curious, I was like, okay, and I bought the book. I did a chapter every other day. The reason I say every other day, read the information, retain the information. The first day, read what was in like chapter one, retain what was in chapter one. So the following day after I read chapter one, which was, it could be like basic search engines or social media or whatever, right? The next day I'd practice what I read before moving on to the next chapter. So for each thing in the book, I'm like, okay, they're talking about going to Baidu. I'm just going to use Baidu as an example. Going to Baidu as a search engine, Yandex. I would go to Baidu and play around with Baidu the next day and Yandex the next day, because it would be a chapter on search engines. So I'm like, okay, these are all the different ones. This is what they can do. This is what they can't do. I'd put some queries in. Okay, these queries work on this engine, but they don't work on that engine. And I would constantly take notes. And that's how I made it through the book. I made it through the book that way. I stayed dedicated to like, okay, here's what you do with these search engines. Here's what you do here. And learning how to build my own OSINT VM. So, because originally it was just like, okay, how are the, and this was just a question to myself. I'm like, okay, I know everybody's doing OSINT, but are they doing this on their own personal computer? How are they doing this and not worrying about being discovered or whatnot, you know? And then in the later versions of the OSINT books, they had the Linux VM. So I'm like, oh, it's the Linux VMs with your favorite tools. After reading the chapter, reading and retaining. So after I practiced just building based off of the tools that they had in the OSINT book, that's what I was like, okay, let me try to make up my own methodology, my own search engine. So I took what was in that book and then started researching for alternatives. Like, so for example, alternatives to Hunchly, you know, alternatives to say Baidu, what other search engines were out there, you know, what were alternative ways to find a phone number, you know, just different ways of that nature while still reading and retaining in the OSINT book. So that kind of got the ball rolling and I never let it go. And I said, I enjoy this. I read stuff on Bellingcat. I'll just look and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is some amazing stuff, you know? And then I'll even do, and here's another tidbit. If I'm looking for something, I want to see what the latest in OSINT, I'll go into Twitter and just type OSINT in the search engine and who has the latest tweets on something OSINT related. And that's how I learn about maybe different techniques, different tools. I listen to OSINT via OSINT Curious podcasts because the tidbits. So I listen to all types of podcasts related to OSINT. That's in my course, my Spotify phone. So a combination of different things. So that's how I got interested and got the ball rolling into the OSINT world.
That's great that you learn something and then you do it, because one of the things that I've always told people about the way that I learn best is to learn it, then to do it, then to teach it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I think all too often we just read a book and think like, well, you know, I'm Neo, I've downloaded it into my brain, now I know Kung Fu, without mm-hmm. ever actually doing it. You know, like Morpheus said, show me.
Yes, exactly. And that's
what you're doing. You're doing the show me part.
Yes. Because I look at OSINT as, and as I said earlier, the break open just in case of emergency skill set. Because you never know when you might have to search for something that just isn't there in plain sight. So that's how I view OSINT.
And I also like that you built your own VM, which was probably including with putting all of your own tools in there, because
yes.
You know, as pen testers, I think most pen testers probably just download Kali and because
most call of the day.
Yeah, most of the tools are there. And sure, we go into GitHub and add some others as well. But one of the pieces of advice that you often hear to beginning pen testers is don't use Kali, just go build your own. And you mm-hmm. kind of did your own with this. And one of the problems with build your own is having to maintain it. And when there's dependencies and when things yes. break, how much did you learn by having to maintain the tools?
A whole lot. an insane amount, you know, because again, when everything is going great, you have nothing to work for. When things are broken and things are out of place, now you have to scramble to make sure that this works if you want to keep using it. And you'll get more motivation and you'll learn a lot more because you're motivated to make that particular tool work in the environment. You're going to do all that you can. You're going to look at forms. You're going to look at how other folks have ran into that same issue as you and how they fixed it. And then I guarantee you, once you fix it on your own, you'll never forget how to fix it again, because you're constantly, you know, when you're constantly updating, you're going to break things. That's the thing with, and I say this anytime, and not just with OSINT, it's with anything. Don't be afraid to break anything when you're working on something. You're going to break it. There's no avoiding it. It's going to happen. It happens every day. It happens to the best of us. Don't feel like because you broke something that you don't know anything and that you feel like I can't do this. Yes, you can. The best have broken things. And that's just how it works. And sometimes you use the tool in a broken state till you can figure out how to fix it. Done that as well, too. So that's how I learned to build my own VM. And another tidbit I'll put out there, too. Don't just build on one platform. Build it on Ubuntu. Build it on FreeBSD, build it on Arch Linux, build it on CentOS, whoever's using CentOS out there. Challenge yourself to build it on different platforms and you'll learn different things about what each platform does. And then as you learn it and you earn it, then you teach it.
And if you really want to bend your brain after you've built it on all of those environments, then do it on Windows. That's going to be a whole new environment.
The dependency dungeon. Yes. Come on down to the dependency dungeon. Won't you come on down?
So I think you've also been using your OSINT skills for some fun personal projects as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about your personal OSINT project?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. So For the longest time, I've been, you know, like I said, starting out with OSINT, and it's just like, okay, I'm learning these acquired skills. Let me try to put this to work. And I remember going to a family reunion. And at the family reunion, at my family reunion, it was like, you know, it's a shame that such and such doesn't know this person and such and such doesn't know that person. It's been too long that, you know, we get together, we have family reunions. And I was like, you know what? I want to make, and this is when somebody was talking about, you know, ancestry.com. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to try to see if I can find my family members, not just depending on one site. That was my project. It was like, cling. I called it, because I'm a fan of Transformers too, by the way. So I called it Operation Laserbeak. Because Laserbeak was the bird from Soundwave. And anytime they wanted to get any intel, they sent Laserbeak out to find out what the Autobots were doing. And then he'd bring the intel back home to replay it into Soundwave's chest so Megatron could know what's going on. All Transformer heads, you know what I'm talking about. So I wound up doing that, and I was just like, okay, let's get started here. So I said, okay, I'm going to just go to Ancestry. Here's how I started too. So of course I built my VM, had my tools in place. Now it was time to get to work. So I said, okay, let me go to Ancestry.com using the free version, get free information. Free 99 is always good. And the cool part about Ancestry.com is they do give you a little bit of information, just like every other site. They give you just a little bit of information. Yeah, they were born at this date, or you know, their full name is this, what their gender is at the time of birth, and it stops right there. It cuts off. If you want to know more, pay $19.99 or whatever else. So just with that little bit of information, that's when I started breaking out the Google, Yandex, Baidu, Seek.org, like, and just a plethora of other search engines, just to see what could come back with it. And mind you, I did all this within my VM. I took my screenshots with my browser in my VM, had it saved. Thank God for Flameshot. And there's various others that you could use too, but I love Flameshot for some reason. I don't know. But I took all that information down. I'm like, okay, cool. Now I've got a layout of who was born in the 1800s. Here's how I broke it down. I had a folder, family members with my last name, broken down if you were born in the 1800s and the 1900s. And then with under the 1900s, I had different folders, 1900, 1910, 1920, 1930, and on up, right? All the way up until I stopped at 1970, because that's 10 years before I was born. I was born in 1980. So I stopped at 1970. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me look for all the folks who were born with my last name under, I started out with 1887. I don't know, for some reason that was just kind of the thing there. And then I found my great, 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 I don't know how many greats I'm using, great grandmother's name. And I was like, oh, it's a start. I felt like the golden child for a second there with Eddie Murphy. I said, okay, this is a spark here. So I found my great, great, great grandmother. I was like, okay, let me work from here. This is where I was like, okay, this is the ceiling for right now. Let me work my way back. Great, great grandmother. Then I did some searching with, of course, now I'm looking for, now the people that I know that are not alive, I'm not looking for their phone numbers. The people that I know that are alive, I broke it down to where, okay, I know this person is deceased because I found the death certificates and everything else through, again, the power of search engine, folks. And remind you, you notice I didn't say anything about tools here. It's just strictly search engine right now. My brain and the search engine and the key and the combination of keys that I'm typing in. That's it, right? So I got that information. I'm like, okay, anybody that I knew it was deceased, I put like a dash dash arrow next to their name. That was just let me know that they're deceased. Once I got to the point where I found out that a person was alive, that's when I started, okay, search their name, search the social media, search for reverse phone search to see where their last phone numbers were. This is where I've incorporated Hunchly now, because this is where, you know, you kind of need a more robust solution. And I'm just using Hunchly as an example, but whatever that you find, that you can find like an all-in-one, or, you know, see if you can find out more information. That was the way to do it. Notice I never said paid. This is all free information that was out there. And I'm just building, I call it building my OSINT blanket. So now I have the blanket with my great, great grandmother, great, 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 many greats. And now I have under her name, my aunts, great uncles. I've even found some of their children. So I'm like, oh, this is amazing. And their children's children is where I found the phone number. I said, okay, now we got phone numbers. They're alive. Figured out they're alive. They got phone numbers. And I took a chance with social media because, again, we got to look at the demographic too. So when you're thinking about this, and also when you're working with OSINT, you have to think about the not only the beginning, but where do you want to end your investigation? And on top of that, you want to think about, okay, the demographic that you're working with. What's the target that you're working with? My target was a generation that came before me. So I had to start thinking like they would think in that particular time. So if they were born in the early 1900s and, you know, further, we'll say like 1970-ish, we'll say 1970, they may have a social media. They might not, because they didn't come up in the time of the internet. Big difference. So I had to think in that mindset as well, too. Once I figured that out, I was like, okay, cool. We got phone numbers. Okay, I got some social media profiles. There were some that had social media profiles. So the way that I wound up doing, I said, okay, I know it's their last name. Let me just send a request. I created an account. Let me send a request. Some answered me. Some didn't. Some was like, okay, what's going on here? But some folks did answer me. And it's like, well, wow, we have the same last name. How was that so? And then that's when we started having conversations. And I said, hey, you know, it's nice to meet you. I'm such and such. My father is my father's name. And they're like, oh, my goodness. You know, some people didn't recognize me and some people did. I was just like, wow. OK. From that information, I started building more. The ones that I had phone numbers for, the ones that I've actually spoken to, I documented that. And I said, okay, now that I have somebody's phone numbers here, I said, okay, let me back up. Let me see if they have children. I didn't want to just ask them right out everything because that would have killed the project. So I said, okay, now that I have a phone number, let me, okay, and I have their social media profile. Okay, do they have children? You know, so I started going back 6 months to a year on their social media profile to see. I always look throughout the course of the year. And I always, and here's another thing too. If they were, check to see if they were a parent. I would check their profile on Mother's Day and Father's Day. If somebody say, hey, happy Father's Day, how are the kids doing? I'm like, okay, cool, they have children. All right. And plus, a lot of times they're posting the pic of their children with, if you hover over their picture, their screen name comes up. So that's how I found some that had that and some that wasn't, because they wasn't on social media. And not just Facebook. I even tried to link it down to LinkedIn from a more professional manner as well, too. So it went into LinkedIn side of the house. I even did Twitter. And the way I did Twitter was, some folks, again, depends on the demographic that you're dealing with. At that time, when people were starting to use Twitter, they were using their real name. So some folks I got lucky with, they had their first and last name. I have my first and last name on my Twitter. It's just that my handle is BSD Bandit, but my first and last name is on my Twitter. So I got lucky with some on that capacity and found more cousins that way. Because now they're like, okay, who is this guy tweeting me? And now I got a, not only just a younger generation, that a generation that's younger than me, now they're able to, and I call this, I know this sounds wild, but I started using them as the OSINT proxy. So they were my proxies, meaning proxies like, oh my God, your father is this? I was like, yes. And your father is such and such? Oh, wow. It's nice to finally meet you. You know, can you, how's your father doing? Oh, he passed away. Or how's your mom doing? Oh, she's still alive. She's such age. And I started building from there. Long and behold, out of this entire project, I counted, and this is no joke, I found 21 cousins, 5 great aunts, 3 great uncles, and of course, my great-great-grandmother and my great-great-grandfather. And this was all within this project. And some folks I've met today, some folks, not today, but I'm going to be meeting at, we having like a little family reunion tomorrow. So that's to say, this is perfect timing to talk about it here, because some of those folks I'm actually going to meet tomorrow in person. So that's the folks, when you're working with OSINT, and this is just my project and it's still ongoing. It's not over because I want to know more. Like, I want to know more information. You know, I didn't tell them I got information on them. That's for sure. That's no, I wouldn't scare. I don't want to scare them like that. But it was just a project of me just like, okay, wow. Like, and on top of that, just did some OSINT on myself, because a lot of times when you do OSINT on yourself, you could be linked to somebody else. There was a way that you could be linked back to somebody else, maybe a different address, and then they're linked to somebody else. It's kind of like a daisy chain. So you could find information that way. When you're dueling OSINT, and I want to point this out, and you really want to learn OSINT, make a real life project for yourself. And it could be something like simple. All that I ask is that you don't use the information that you do find in an illegal fashion or to try to manipulate people, because again, that will get you in trouble. And then, you know, we're all going to know about it because we're going to be reading about you on the news because you did something that wasn't the makeup of the OSINT community. we're not here to find information and use it against you maliciously, because that's against our code of conduct and that's not what we stand for. But you can find out so much information that you never knew before. Even if you're learning a language, if it's something where you're trying to learn a language and you're trying to find folks that are interested in learning the same thing that you're learning, or maybe you're trying to figure out, find a course, anything that you're trying to find information on, you can do it. I guarantee you. If you want, okay, perfect example, because I know it's a real estate arena. If you want to find information on land that was owned before you were born, there's a project idea right there too. How far back does that land go, maybe in your family's name, or how far back did that land exist or this property exist? You know, you can start there. And that's totally legal information because it's public information that's out there. All you got to do is go search for it and act like, and pretend like you're actually an OSINT investigator. Somebody hired you to go look for this information. And you know what the awesome part is by the end of this? You could count it as experience, folks. You can count this as experience. If somebody said, hey, what have you done in the last 4 months? If you're trying to seek this as a profession, you'd be like, hey, I did XYZ. Here's how I did it. These are the steps that I take. This is the information that I found. Because again, you will find this information on your own, you'll build your own methodologies, and you'll be able to talk about it because you actually did the work. You not only read, but you retained. That's the key. That's the key to it all. So anyone out there, if you want to learn OSINT, you can learn this stuff today. And I know I sound like a commercial when I say that. I like saying that. But you can learn this today. So I want you to put your hands together, put them on the keyboard, and open your mind and start typing in how to get into OSINT. And I want you to Google this podcast, Layer 8 Con. Google it.
That's all great advice, because people are constantly asking, how do I learn? How do I get started?
Yes.
And like you said, you know, this is all open source free information. And if you're doing it all on yourself, there really isn't much, any kind of direction that you can go that's illegal with this kind of thing. So
right.
Doing your own family history seems like an incredible project, because it's probably something that's going to be interesting to most people as well.
Yes. And that's the thing. It's a never ending project. There's nothing that says done. Only you get to decide when it's done. Yep. There's no, hey, this is it. This is it. No, you decide. You're in the driver's seat.
And I think it was also interesting that, in my opinion, you did it in the hard direction. Like, I've done a little bit of my own family history investigating through some of those sorts of things, but I started in the opposite direction. I started with me and then my parents, and I knew who their parents were, and then started investigating from there. But it sounds like you went the other direction. You started with the great, 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 great grandma down to you.
Yes.
That sounds much harder than starting from yourself up.
And you know why? Pain plus work equals pleasure.
You're just filling us up with the quotes.
It's just my mindset. If it's the hard way. If I took the easy route, the project would have been over. Like, oh, I already got it done. I'm done. But if it made it more challenging, then that forced me to try to get to the next step and the next step and the next step and keep going. And then when I look back, I had all this information. So that's the reason why I chose the other route.
And the real hard part is probably going to be at the family get together to not let something slip that you know about somebody.
oh no, I won't do that. Trust me. Because it'll be like, hey, nice to meet you. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What do you do for a living? You know, how are you? How have you been? You know, just regular conversation. And that's the thing. Look at when with OSINT with us, right? We want to take OSINT and look at it as a way of just having a regular conversation. Only difference is you're just your mind and what you want to put out on that keyboard is having a conversation with the search engine that brings you back the information that you're looking for. And it allows you to mold it for what you want it to be from there. That's all it is.
Yep. Yeah, and I also like how you went through that. You were really describing your methodology and some of your pivots of different pieces of data. And you even emphasized that all of this was free. And mm-hmm. you also emphasized that you weren't using tools. So in your mind, for an OSINT person, what is the value of somebody starting out learning a solid methodology versus grabbing tools and learning how they work?
Well, okay. So here's the thing. As for a beginner, I would recommend really both, right? And I'll tell you why. Starting out with the tool, it kind of helps get your feet wet, like how this works, right? How everything, how do you do everything, right? But I want the beginners to understand, to develop the mindset, great, you know how to use the tools. What if those tools did not exist? How would I be able to do what I'm doing now that I have the tools? Kind of rewind yourself, be like, you know what? There was a time where these tools didn't exist and folks still needed to do investigations. How did they do them? And you start thinking in that mindset. It's no different than before Google. And I keep this from the hacker community. Before Google and all these beautiful tools that we have now, how did hackers hack systems? They went to the library. They printed out books. They printed out any piece of information that they had because that was the Google of their time. So look at it from that standpoint, like saying, okay, yeah, we have these tools now. These are tools of today. Without these tools, these are the methods of yesterday. But knowing both will bring you to the methods of tomorrow. That's the key. And that's what I would give advice to anybody who's beginning. Know the tools of today, understand the methodologies of yesterday, so you can use that same thing tomorrow.
That's great advice. And another way to probably look at those tools when you're starting out is learning how they work. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily only mean that like being able to type in the commands, but I mean literally how they work. Because, for example, there's like a very well-known pen test certification out there that doesn't really let you use Metasploit on their certification exam. But
yes,
what if you actually go into the modules that are inside of Metasploit and actually then start reading the code on exactly what it is doing and pick those pieces out and then go do that manually? So then you actually understand how the tool works.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could probably do some of the same things what you were just describing with the OSINT.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's the same exact thing. It's just going in there, tearing apart the code and looking at, okay, this is how this beautiful machinery works. Again, and before, you know, some of us, a lot of us, we all had VCRs before. Even when they were working, when they would stop working, what would we do? We lift up the top, see what caught the tape. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, just Google VCRs. And then matter of fact, make that an OSINT project. What was life like without the DVD player, without the DVR? Go back a little bit further. The Betamax, VCRs. Look up these technologies, folks.
Oh, you're going way back to the Betamax.
Yeah. So look at that. That could be another project idea. But when something happened with the VCR, we were like, okay, how come the tape's not coming out? You take off the top. Oh my God, the tape is caught around one of the pieces. But you won't know that until you take the top off. Same thing with these tools. You won't understand how these tools work until you take the top off. And meaning that is looking at the code and see exactly what it's doing. So you hit the nail on the head with that one.
One of the things that I also love to think about and talk with people about when it comes to OSINT investigations, what do you think about breach data in terms of OSINT? Is that fair game? Is that stolen material? Do you think that that should be used in OSINT investigations?
I think it's, well, we know it's stolen goods.
Right.
Because, again, that's something that me personally, if I'm finding something that has breached data in it, I'm going to put it in a folder, zip it up, continue my investigation. But once the investigation is over, and it could be for a specific company, like, hey, by the way, this is publicly accessible on the internet, but present it to them in a closed environment. Not saying, you know, like how a lot of folks like to do, just say, hey, at them on Twitter, you know, this directory is open with all your information in it. You might want to fix it. Loud and wrong. The best way to do this is through, hey, you found this information and you're investigating a customer. Go ahead and just pretty much just present it to the customer. That's it. Don't make a big announcement about it.
And let's take our OSINT one step further. What is the value of OSINT on a red team engagement? When you are doing some pen testing, when you're doing some red teaming, how does the OSINT come into play there?
Oh, OSINT is huge. OSINT is huge because, again, that gives insight on information on how the customer is. We look at it from a standpoint like, okay, if I'm going to be searching like GitHub for username and passwords. I'm going to be searching specific websites, specific forms for information about the customers or folks that are actually working at that particular organization that I'm pen testing against, right? Because I want to find email addresses. I want to find information that they might be posting on social media about their company, the company's site that might be on social media, because that might give me tidbits about what systems are actually running on the network. Because a lot of times companies do drop jewels about what they're doing within their organization, whether it's a network or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, whatever operating system may be running. Or, hey, today is Patch Tuesday for all our Windows servers. Please make sure you log out before the end of the day by COB today. Oh, you made this an announcement on your company site or in a company form that might be open to the world. So these are things that I look for when I'm doing a penetration test in general. So these are things I look for.
You've already given a whole lot of advice to people that are getting started. Pretty much everything that you've talked about is for people getting started. And that's usually one of the questions that I ask people right at the end. So if we were to sum it up, somebody comes to you and says, hey, Charles, I want to get started in the OSINT world. What advice do you have for how I, from knowing nothing today, how can I get to be where you are eventually?
First of all, the question I would ask them is like, what got you interested in OSINT? You know, what's your reasoning for wanting to get into OSINT? And if they give me an answer of just saying, you know, because I'm curious. Okay. I like that answer because curiosity is what's going to help you through this whole OSINT process. Now, here's how we get started with the process. First, we're going to learn how to use the search engine efficiently. That's the first step. Forget everything else. Forget all the magical tools. Figure out how to use the search engine efficiently. This is where I would give them a Google hacking book. And on top of that, I would say, hey, any questions that you have, ask me and we can go back and forth for dialogue. I will help you as much as I can. This is what this is stuff. Again, when you learn, the best way to learn is to teach. So the best way to teach is actually, and I feel actually be involved with that person as they're trying to learn. So it's just like, hey, you're beginning. I'm going to pretend I'm beginning, even though I've been at this for a while, but we're going to begin together. And if you get stuck on something, I'll give you a nugget to see. You know, but you have to be asking me some questions or whatnot. So I can say, hey, click this, type this. It's got to be interactive here. Like, hey, this is what you've been working on. Okay, cool. Hey, I would try this if I was in your situation. Maybe you want to look at this particular search engine. Once you've got the basics of how to search for information, then we can get into more advanced things. It's like, okay, how do you search on social media platforms? How do you get information from that? Because you already got the basics down for learning how to search in a search engine. Because again, a lot of this stuff is just searches. Facebook's a search engine. Look at it from that standpoint. Facebook's a search engine. LinkedIn's a search engine. TikTok's a search engine. And the reason I mentioned TikTok, because a lot of times you can find information when you slow down the picture or what's going on in sticky notes in the background that people are posting. But the basis is, you know, if somebody was the beginning, this is how I would show them and help them get into this. And on top of that, I would recommend Layer 8, follow Layer 8, get on, look at some of these podcasts that are related directly with OSINT, because there's plenty of them out there. Hit up the YouTube channels, hit up the OSINT conferences, which is Layer 8, and there's several others as well too. But this is how I would help someone get started, in my personal opinion.
That's all awesome advice.
Well, I just want to leave folks with this message. I just want to say that we talked about some awesome stuff here today. I had so much fun again, but I want you to leave you with this. Make computing fun. You know, don't look at this as like a chore. Look at this as something that you adore. Look at why you got into the computing industry in the first place. Take it back to those times. Don't let this stuff overconsume you. And I know it's hard, but don't pay attention to what's going on Twitter. If somebody's doing something more advanced, that doesn't mean that you don't know anything. It's just that, again, it's just not your time. As time goes on, you'll be tweeting out different things and advanced methods that other folks learn from. But keep learning. Don't give up. Don't quit. If you need any help with anything, my DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm the BSD Bandit. I love y'all all, and later. Ow! Yep, yep!